The following podcast is a presentation of Sunridge Community Church.
Buddy, if I could invite you back to your seats. We want to carry on with our series that we've been in these last few weeks. We only have a couple weeks left, and then we're going to change it up. But I know for many of us, we have come to be thinking a lot about this topic called guardrails. And guardrails, really, just to refresh our thinking here, guardrails are those items that are on the side of the road, of course, that keep us, while we're driving through certain areas, from getting into trouble. Maybe it's a curve on a steep mountainous highway. Maybe it's a bridge. But guardrails are really significant in that guardrails are placed on the safe part of the road to keep us from, you know, if we're going to hit them, we would suffer minor damage. Because if the guardrail wasn't there, we would suffer major damage. And so this whole thing of guardrails is something where there are some things that, you know, the people that are putting streets together, they decide, okay, that's where the rail will be. When we've tried to talk about this same kind of thinking and theme in other areas of life, one of the things that we've been saying is, wouldn't it be important and wouldn't it be significant if we could take the same concept and apply it to different areas of our life, relationally, maritally, vocationally, you know, financially? What would it look like to have guardrails placed on the safe side, you know, not that it's a right or a wrong, but on the safe side to keep us from kind of getting really, really hurt when it comes to whatever area of life that happens to be? And so there's this challenge that I've been trying to have us really think through, and we've defined a guardrail this way. It's a personal, so it's your choice. It's a personal standard of behavior that becomes a matter of conscience. So when we've talked about different things, last week talked about, well, a lot of things, Teresa and I, but the week before, kind of sexual areas and sexual boundaries. Today we're going to talk about money. But it's a really interesting thing. Those two things, they're really, really big. In fact, a lot of times when I'm sitting and talking with individuals, there's usually it's a sex. What is it going to be? Is it going to be about sex? Or I had sex with somebody that I shouldn't have? Or I want to have sex with someone, should I? And, you know, it's a lot of that. Or it's money. Like, I got real money challenges, money problems. I want to buy something, or I bought something I shouldn't have, and now I'm in trouble, and now my wife is upset, or my husband's upset, or... Those are really, really big, and yet our culture doesn't help us. Our culture is baiting us to the edge on these things, and when we cross over the edge, they chastise us, don't they? So it's funny, because we've got these two couple big issues, as I've mentioned, you know, the sexual and moral issues, and now we have this financial issues, and a lot of people in culture are just saying, you know what? We don't really want to know what God has to say about this. Because we think that, you know, the church just wants me for my money, and the church is against sex, and so therefore I'm not interested. And yet, time after time after time, it's the same thing. These two big things that just keep coming up. So today, I really want to do my best to be courageous I want to be as upfront as I can. I want to take another run at this issue of guardrails, but I want to do it in regards to finances. I want to do it in regards to money. And we'll find that the New Testament, the Bible, the Scriptures, actually, they have an awful lot to say about money. And you may wonder why. And I would bring it down to one simple word. Why does Scripture say so much about money? And it really does. It has an awful lot to say about cash, about stuff, about material possessions. It just does. And I really do believe, it comes down to really one word. And the word is devotion. There is something that God has longed for, and it's our devotion. See, God's chief competitor is not the devil in your and my heart, okay? It's not like you and I are at home during the week and saying, okay, should I worship God or should I worship Satan? Like, if that's what you're wrestling with, that's a different sermon. You know, maybe even a different church. But today, the average person, I believe, is struggling with, can I trust God? Or am I going to continue to trust in money, in what I can earn, in what I can get, in what I can acquire? That's a very big question in most of our minds. And so as we take on this topic here this morning, you know, my prayer really is that we would really keep it clear as to what it is that we're really talking about. It is about our hearts and our heart's devotion to a God who's saying to us, the chief competitor for your and my heart seems to be money. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 6. Jesus is addressing this, and there's some real tension in this verse. Listen to Matthew 6:24. This is what Jesus says. He says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So Jesus is just simply saying, let me help you recognize something. Because there is tension that is going to be taking place in who is ultimately going to be where you devote your heart. You will tend to either put your trust or your devotion in money and security and stuff, or you will put it in God. And God loves you. And God wants your and my devotion. He wants to be your master. But God knows. He knows that his chief competitor is stuff and the acquisition and the pursuit of stuff. And that's why the Bible has so much to say about money. Now, here's the deal about guardrails. When we talk about finances, there's really two ditches that I think really come into play as we think about guardrails in regards to our finances. One is consuming. Number two is hoarding. Consuming is just simply this thinking. Everything that comes to you, you consume. Now, whatever comes to you by way of money, they become things in the house. They maybe become the house. They become the car. There's something that you are about, and so you consume. Everything that's kind of coming, you take and you make that something for you. And eventually, a consumer, after a while, if you are about that your whole life, you will fall into something they call consumer debt. So the consuming is one ditch that you could fall on. On the other side of the road, this one isn't something that we like to be known for at all. As a matter of fact, consuming we're a little more comfortable with. Hoarding we're not. Hoarding on the other side of the ditch is really, it's best described, well, what if I get sick? Well, what if something happens to the economy? What happens if I want to retire? What if? What if? What if? And so there's this mentality that is at the center of a person hoarding. You know, that really is the other side of the ditch. So now the problem with being a consumer, a consuming issue, and being a hoarder, there are some things in common. And number one, they are really very self-centered, both of them. Whether you're a consumer or whether you're a hoarder, doesn't matter what side of the ditch we go on. Both of those are very much, they're very self-centered. And number two, they both leave you living as if there's really no God. I'm going to take this apart a little bit more later on, but just suffice to say, they're both fueled, whether you're a consumer or whether you're a hoarder, they're both fueled by the G word, greed. Greed. Now, greed's really hard to see in yourself. It's not something that, you know, it's even hard to say. Pray for me, Mike. I've never had anybody say that to me. I'm a greedy person. I hear people say, I'm a planner. I'm a saver. Not that those things are bad. It's just really, really hard, almost impossible to see greed. And there's something that is really important for us to see, and Jesus does us a favor. And so throughout his teachings, he teaches on greed. And often the teachings on greed have to do with the money issue, especially in the New Testament and Scripture. Jesus really does go after that. And so there's this theme behind the teachings of Jesus when he talks about greed. And it would be in a statement like this. Greed is the assumption that it's all for my consumption. Greed is the assumption that it's all for my consumption. That's really all greed is. You can be rich and greedy, you can be poor and greedy. But greed is just simply anything that comes to me, it's for me. And you can choose, I'm going to consume or I'm going to hoard. But the premise and the major problem is there's this assumption that it really is all for my consumption. And so that's really what we want to talk about. But the problem that underlies that is that there's really no God. And that's really why this is an important talk. And it doesn't mean that you don't believe in God. It doesn't mean that you don't love God. It doesn't even mean that you don't enjoy church and that you don't respect the Bible. You probably do. But the problem with this is that when it comes down to financial decisions, the big ones, anyone's, when it comes down to our thinking about it, we'll start to find ourselves asking these questions. Am I going to be able to get what I want? Am I going to be okay? And we start to make our decisions chiefly based on what it is that we are putting first. And so this is why it's just so important we talk about this. Because it really is about our heart. It's about devotion. And the problem is that we've got to figure out ways that we can talk about this thing called greed. This thing called greed. And if you're fueled by greed, you really will live as if there's no God. Listen carefully. Until you hit a financial problem, watch what happens here. See, we've all done this. I wouldn't even ask for a raise of hands. But when you and I, we hit a big financial problem, who do you call out to? And I'll tell you right now, clue, it's not your mama. I'll tell you who we call out to. It's God. And we pray a prayer that sounds something like this. Hey, God, this is Mike. Haven't talked to you for a while, but I need your help. You listening? And here's an interesting thing, and I don't know how to say this any more clear than this, is that we tend to come into these financial realities where it gets really tight, really hot, really problematic. And for some, it's like we haven't really walked with God through the area of our finances in previous times, but now all of a sudden we're in trouble. And so we believe that somehow God is there to help us with our financial problem. And listen carefully, friends, because here's what the Heavenly Father would say to you when you find yourself in that situation. Your Heavenly Father is going to say, I am not going to help you. I don't want to help you. And I think for some of you, just even listening to those words, you're saying, what do you mean? This is what Jesus is really going after. He wants to be the master of your life. and his chief competitor is your stuff. And so God, the Creator, will not be a backup plan for your financial journey. He will not. Which means you and I must break the power of greed in our life. So if you live, and if your ultimate perspective is dependence upon stuff, Jesus would just simply say, you're living with the assumption that it's all for your consumption. Okay. So one of my roles here as a pastor is to, just do my best to raise what it is that can guard your heart, can raise what it is that can move you to a place where you really are completely coming to that devoted portion where we can say, God, you have all of me. And we're all on a journey. I understand that. But today is really an important conversation because, you know, there's something that I think we all need to just hear. And here's the thing. We all have this propensity to have greed going on in our life. And there's things that we can actually do to break the power of greed. And here's what it is. It's not a prayer. And really, when you think about it, it's not even a one-time decision. Here's what it is. It's a habit. It's a habit. And that's really what I want to talk to you a little bit about here today. Because what we're talking about when we talk about devotion and God wants that devotion, when we talk about what we're actually doing here today, it's not even a financial decision. It's a heart decision. It's one about devotion. It's a where do I put God in what I believe? And God really does have some clear understandings on this because he knows that if he can get your checkbook, your and my checkbook, he knows that he can have our heart. It tells us in Matthew 6:21 this. Jesus says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart goes. Now that's what Jesus taught. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart goes. And so it's not even about money as much as it is about he just wants our heart, our devotion, as I said earlier. And so the chief competitor, as I said earlier, is oftentimes just our stuff. When our kids were growing up and they were really young, one of the things that Teresa and I, we did is we created for each of them three boxes. And whenever they would get some kind of money or finances of some type of a gift at Christmas, we would always try and help them understand that there was really three things. And the first was always this. The first was always give. And so they had a little box and they would put some of their portion of their money. And we even started talking about percentages back in those early days with our kids. As I recall, it was oftentimes 33, 33, 33. They didn't know any better, so we would just take, you know, a quarter and a quarter and a quarter, and they didn't know that they were giving more than and maybe what eventually they grew up learning about. But that's what we did. And so we would always have them understand this is just such an important piece because we give that, and we give that to God's work and to the church that you're a part of. And so our kids kind of grew up doing that. The second box that we would talk about was a save box. And so we'd say, you know, as important as it is to give something first, it's really important that you put something around in this box too. And I recall the picture that we put on that, I think was a cloud for a rainy day. I think we wanted our kids to kind of feel that a little bit. And then this third box, just to have them feel that one a little bit, we would just say, that's the portion that you live on. So that's what we would do with our kids all of these years. And so in previous messages that I've given here, you've often, maybe you haven't heard it before, but I'd go by the numbers 10, 10, 80. So the Claussen home, and you can do this exercise in your own home too. There's a footprint that you and I live with, financially speaking. I mean, we always want it to be a little larger, and we always push the lines, but the truth of the matter is we have a footprint, if we're honest. And within that footprint, what I've tried to do with my children is to help them understand, you need to live within that. whatever that is. And as you earn, always remember, you want to give, you want to save, and you want to live on the rest. And there's always tension with that. There's always tension with that. But I just want to just flash that up to you for just a few moments here, because that's the premise with pretty much everything else that I want to say here today, and to bring the words of Jesus, and to just, you know, if we live in a way where we're serving God and not allowing money to take over, somewhere along the way, we're going to have to put some guardrails into place. Somewhere we're going to have to do something. Now, you may not like that, but that's fine. I'm just saying that somewhere, somehow, you're going to have to do something like this, because here's the way it works. I love our country. I love our city. I love hamburgers, like, come to think of it. Like, I love the mall. I love technology. I love a lot of different things. But here's my problem. If I don't have some guardrails, I'm going to get myself into real trouble. And that's why it's just so important that somehow I figured out a way to just, I got to build something in my life, financially speaking, that is going to protect me. It's going to protect my family. And so I've tried to help my kids, you know, at least understand that there's a rhythm, you know, that they can really live by, and that they can eventually, as they grow and they earn, that they can build and develop guardrails in their life. So let's go back to the words of Jesus. Matthew 6:24. This is what he says. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one, love the other, or you will be devoted to the one to despise the other. You cannot serve both, even though we try. You cannot serve both God and money. And then a few minutes later in the sermon, here's what Jesus says in verse 31. So do not worry saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? Jesus says, I do not want money to steal your joy. I do not want money to steal your peace. I do not want money to be front and center of everything else, you know, that you're about. Because if it is, that's then what you're serving. Look at the verse and you'll go, how do I get to the place of not worrying then? I mean, we look at a verse, we say, why? Why is it that I continually seem to be thinking about the next thing, what I'm going to wear, what I'm going to eat? And that's something that I'm not trying to belittle anything here. We all live within that tension. But friends, you have to understand, God does not need your money. He just doesn't want you to be worried. Verse 32, for the pagans run after all these things. Now, if you and I, we lie in our bed at night, whether we're rich or whether we're poor or whether we're in between, and you're just consumed about, you know, what about the future? What if I get sick? And what about the money? What about the money? What if? What if? And if that's something that we're doing on a regular basis, Jesus is saying, well, we're actually living like a pagan. We're living as if there is no God. We're living as if God could never intervene. We're living as if God doesn't know, and we're living as if God doesn't care. That's how you're living your life, because, well, he's not front and center. See, it's about the heart. It's about devotion. It's about focus. It's not about money, friends. It's about something within. It's something deeper. It's something far more soulish than just currency. Verse 32. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. See, here's why we worry. We worry because we're not sure that God knows, and we're not sure that God cares, and we're not sure that God is actually going to do anything. In fact, I think one of the biggest defining moments maybe for some of us would just simply be to decide this once and for all. Do I really believe that God knows? And do I really believe that God cares? Because if you did, And if you saw that, once and for all, you decide, I know God knows, and I know that God cares. Then you begin to change the orientation of the way you think and see, and you're not stuff-centered, you become God-centered. And that's what Jesus is really trying to raise in these few verses. But it's hard to talk about because it creeps up. So let me ask you, do you think God knows? Really? Really knows that you need a place to live? Do you think that God knows that you need to pay the bills? Do you think that God knows that you need to pay the taxes? I mean, do you think God knows? And do you think God cares? And it's really a yes or no answer. And if your answer is no, then you really do need to, factor God out. And you really should factor finances in a very significant way. I mean, you and I, we've all prayed prayers, haven't we? Believing or thinking that God knows, believing or thinking that God cares. I mean, what if you and I lived? What if we lived really believing that? I mean, from our heart, what if we lived our life that we really believe that God knows and we really believe that God cares? I think that would change. That would change something in us. And that has to do with devotion. It's not about money. Matthew 6:32, and your heavenly Father knows. He knows what you need. He knows what you must have. He knows about your kids. He knows. What if you really believe that, friends? If we really believe that, I think that changes everything. Let me tell you what happens when you really do. Because if you really do, then you trust God with all of it. Because you know that you know that you know that you know that God knows and God cares. And if you don't think that He knows, and if you don't think that He cares, then we're going to consume or hoard. Consume or hoard. Jesus says that there's a different way. But how do we break the power? Verse 33, Matthew 6 says, but seek first. In other words, you've got to put something in the front of the list. This really requires for you and I to reorder, to reprioritize, to rearrange. You know, if all we've been thinking, if all we've been seeking is where am I going to eat? What am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? Where am I going to live? What am I going to go? I mean, these are all legit needs, as I said before. I'm not discounting the importance of them at all. But if you know, friends, if you know that God knows and you know that God cares, He says, just let me tell you the next logical thing then, because if you're with me on that, then God would say, I want you to seek something else first. First, since you're with me. I mean, if you believe I know and you believe I care, listen carefully. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Jesus is saying, seek the right way to live. Seek my values. Seek generosity, justice, mercy. Live that way. Keep me first. Keep your heart soft. And His righteousness, verse 33. And all these things that we worry about, all these things that we can't control, all these things that we hoard for, consume for, all of these things will be given to you as well, Jesus says. Now that's Jesus' promise. But that's the issue right there. What's going to come first? And that's why I say to you, there's something powerful about just giving first. It breaks the power of greed. Save next. Live next. Give, save, live. Give, save, live. Give, save, live. Those that have really lived out this way, there's something that's really, really interesting, because people that give, save, live, there's something about the way that their life works. They become a little more content, not so needing the next thing. I've seen in people's lives, there's just something that it becomes a lot more peaceful and not as anxious. But they've learned this habit of they give, and then they save, and then they live. And in our economic times in the last couple of years, this has been really a challenging footprint, because this, for some, this footprint has actually shrunk, hasn't it? For some people, this has gone in half. That footprint has gone in half. I know that some people reason, you know what? Well, one day, when I have a footprint like this, then this will be easy. And you know the conversations I hear then? Oh, no, that's not so easy, because, well, Mike, that's a lot of money. It's a lot more money than if it were just this small box here. But then when they're at the small box, they don't have enough. I've played that game all day long, too. There comes a point where you really do have to just establish guardrails. Because Jesus says the most important thing is that I have your heart. So, folks, this is what I would love so much for each of you, to in some way think this through, and to think through it enough that you would say, I've got some financial guardrails. Maybe different than what Teresa and I have decided, but that you have something that is going to guide you, is going to direct you, that's going to keep you safe. And I really do believe that there's something really important about this for the next generation. Your kids need to see something in you. And I would say, moms, dads, try and figure out ways that you can do something for your kids. I mean, steal our idea, that's fine, whatever you want to do. But just that there's something about finances, even at 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 years old, they know they get a few handfuls of change. They should give some to God. They should give some to savings, the rainy day. They should give some that they can live on. And you can figure out how they spend all of that money, but figure out a way that they see something, that they can build some habits. Because I know what can happen after a while. We begin to think that God is only there to fix our financial problems when we've got a bump in the road. And it's almost like when we come to those times, and if we haven't got our heart set on God, really, a devoted heart set on God, it's like we pray, God, you stay until I need you financially speaking. Almost like, you know, that's what we'd say to our dog. Stay. You just stay. And then we live out our life in the way that we deem right. And then when we want to run into trouble, then we say, okay, come. Come, please, now. You know, and I'm just telling you that God won't do that. Your dog maybe. God will not do that. See, here it is. He wants to be your master, not your backup financial plan. So here's what I'd love to ask you to just consider. Now, I remember there was a day, you know, when I made this decision too. And maybe just before I make that ask, I would just say this for our kids. You know, I've had my children doing this over the years, and, you know, they'd give this little offering that they'd have to Sunridge Community Church, because that was their church. And so, you know, they get a gift of $10, and so they have a loony. And then they'd put it in, and their mom or me would say, hey, did you give that back to God? And oh yeah, okay, Dad, yeah. And then they put it in their little envelope and we'd stick it in the offering. And I just wanna say this so I can maybe just clear the field a little bit. Because you might be thinking, you know, that's what pastors do. Every now and then they have to have the money talk, especially the week before the annual general meeting and all of that. And I just so don't want to be confused with any of that. Why would I get my kids to take the little bit of money that they'd have and give it to a church. Why? I mean, we certainly didn't need their loony. We're going to be fine without their loony. Here's why. Because I know that the chief competitor in their hearts is going to be money. It's going to be stuff. And I will do anything. I will do everything I can to try and break that so that as they grow up, they're going to have a handle on this thing. So they're not going to do this, God, you stay, and I'm going to live this way until I need you. They're already going to know. They're going to have some rhythms in their life where there's some guardrails. They're going to say, I'm going to honor God first. I'm going to honor God first. And so here's what I would just consider as a challenge to you here today. And that would just be the first thing that you do. The first thing that you do is to just give. Give. Watch what it does. Watch what it does to your heart. Watch what it does to your heart when you begin to actually wrestle the power of greed and you break the power of it. And you do that on a regular basis, you're going to find that you're going to have a more generous spirit about yourself and you will avoid consuming or hoarding, whatever your weakness happens to be. But I know this, that you know, God loves you. God loves me. And he has really helped us to see that he longs for us to release the power of stuff so that our heart can be completely and totally devoted to him. And now we're all on a journey on that. We really, really are. Last week I drew this little thing, and I mean, maybe this is something just to reflect on too, because I mean, we're all on a journey and God really does love us. But, you know, maybe you're finding yourself here and you're an explorer and you don't know really the grace of Jesus yet, and you're finding out answers and it's helpful and it's good. But there's going to come a point in time when you're going to surrender something of yourself to God and you're going to give your heart, and that's going to be a beautiful thing. Your sins are forgiven. You've experienced amazing grace. So you're a newbie. And as a newbie, you're starting to say, wow, like this is just a whole new thing. And you're trying to figure out what's the next steps. And so you feel, well, you know, I mean, God's done so much for me. You know, I want to give. Like, I just want to give something. And so you'll find yourself quite motivated actually to, you know, maybe once in a while you actually put something in the offering. And that's a good thing. But after a while, you're going to start to find yourself growing, and you're a growing Christian, and then you start to hear things like regularity or systems in ways to do it on an ongoing basis. In fact, sometimes you're even going to hear this thing called percentages. And I don't want to get into then, you know, all of the nitpick on that. I'm just saying there's something going on. And we're called to grow and to move. And it is interesting that there's this other one I called last week. It was just the all-in Christian. It's kind of like the point where you come, where this person just says, Jesus, you say the word, and it's done. This gap right there is a pretty big gap, actually, isn't it? I mean, I've walk through this journey too, but there comes that point of what I described last week as that moment where you just say, wow, like, God, I've got to sort this out once and for all. Like, once and for all. And maybe you need to just ask yourself a question, like, where would you place yourself on that journey here even today? But here's what I'd love for all of you. Break the power of greed. Establish whatever guardrails that you choose and live by them. It'll keep you safe. It'll guard your heart. And God will grow you. I want to pray. Worship team, why don't you come on up as I do. And I want to pray for us as a people that we'd really, really, really just get this straight. Give, save, and live. Can I invite you to just stand with me as I pray? So, Lord Jesus, you know my heart this morning, and these are the hardest messages for me to give for obvious reasons. I don't usually get an awful lot of attaboy. Because it's often It's got a challenge. It's got an edge that hits. It hits in some way. And I just really want to be careful with every individual, because all of us are on a different part of this journey. And I would really not want to whack somebody off of their journey. At the same time, God, I want to speak truth. I want to do that lovingly, graciously. But I want to be obedient to you, because there is something that you've called out of us. It's a life of obedience. And I would pray that we would really stare hard and long at this issue of what is it that's the number one thing? And a very, very powerful way to look at that is how we see our money. And if we live with this assumption that it's all for our consumption, God, we really do need to do some internal work. We need to do some prayer. We need to do some repentance. We need to do some committing. We need to do some surrendering. Lord, I know you want our hearts. Please, would you allow us to have the courage to do what we know we need to do? And that we would really be faithful in the way that we follow you. Break the chains, God. Break the chains, because I know that a lot of us were here today, and the reason that this is just so hard for us is because, well, quite frankly, we're just scared to death of it. Because we already know the implications of it. But may we come to that point, God, where we really believe that, God, you know, and God, that you care. In Jesus' name.